You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. All right, lads.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hi. And I've got to say, boys, you know what? We've been doing this now for 7 years.
Have we?
Seven long,
wow,
doom-ridden, miserable years. Yeah, we started, started on the 21st of February, 2015, guys. So, in fact, on Monday, I think it was, 21st, whatever it was. And 7 years we've been recording this podcast for. I mean,
it was a bit patchy to start with, wasn't it? We didn't do everything.
It's a bit patchy now, to be honest. I think the first one was the best. It's gone downhill from then.
So, no, I meant its frequency was patchy. Like, we didn't do it every week.
Yeah, hang on. Someone's not going
to do it. Right, okay. Is it somebody with a...
Well, this is a great start to... A thrilling podcast.
Yeah.
No, who's at the door, I wonder?
In an hour.
It wasn't like this 7 years ago.
It's in an hour.
Right. Sorry. Okay. Friends there, they're obsessed now. So they're starting to get into playing Call of Duty and all that stuff. And they're recording it. And I'm going to upload it to YouTube. Wow. No one else has done that before. It's like, you know, I think this is going to be top of the charts on YouTube, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking, remember, I think you were the first person in the world to discover YouTube. Yeah, because do you remember, Pete? I think it was around my house. Yeah. Weird memory I have of this. I remember just going, I think you were looking for more naughtier videos, to be honest with you, at the time. But you were like, look at this website. You can watch all kinds of videos. And I think me and Pete were like, cool. And it was like pictures of cats falling in bins and stuff.
Do you remember the guy who sold it at the time? I mean, you know, the Google bought it, didn't they? And then they thought, what did they pay that much money for it for? And you realise now... They seem like they're being robbed. If you look at how much money is churning out, and it's something like the stats are ridiculous. If you look at Google it, if you're on a computer, one of you, Google how many hours of video are uploaded every minute on Google. And that time frame seems odd, doesn't it? How many hours of video are uploaded every minute?
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. But do you know what now? TikTok has overtaken it. TikTok.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I've just got a request. Well, we talked about this just before we came on. Monty requested extra time on TikTok because I have their screens on lockdown. It's via the Apple because I'm a family account. I can limit all their screen time via my phone settings, you know? So I do that and they have to nag. And that's the only bargaining tool I have, screen time. That's the only bargaining tool I have. So if I ask you, if I ask you more than three times to do you anything, you're losing an hour of screen time. They've only got 4 hours of screen time. You're losing an hour. And no. So it's bargaining time,
Yeah. Number of hours of video uploaded every hour, two.
No, it's gone down. It's gone down in popularity. TikTok's really taken off.
30,000 hours of video uploaded every hour.
That's nuts, isn't it? Just even the server space, you know.
Yeah.
But Fred's hoping he could be top of the charts with his Call of Duty. You know, he's all right. He's okay in it. He's, you know. Anyway,
I thought Twitcher is the one for gaming, not.
Well, I suppose they're both in it, really. I know. Anyway, Steve, we need. I think we do need a jingle. Last week, I said we need a jingle. But you went with something else. I said we need a jingle saying Global Dickhead of the Week. You know, the actual Global Dickhead of the Week, you know?
The language has gone downhill on this podcast.
It's gone uphill. Okay, sorry. Knobhead of the Week. Global Knobhead of the Week. I think the second week on a trot, it's got to be a Vladimir Ilyich. Putin, on a trot. What's his problem? What is that guy's problem? Do you know what it is? Do you know what I think it is? He's closet gay, isn't he?
Right.
Okay. He obviously is. He likes going on bait. He's pent up sexual frustration. If he came out, he'd be fine. He'd be fine. In Russia, they've got a macho man. It's pent up. He's literally angry. He's an angry little gay guy.
Can a straight person not go around with his top off? Is that
No, it doesn't.
Everything he does. Yeah. Listen, honestly, you're not allowed to be gay in Russia. That's the problem. He needs to open up, Putin.
Right.
So he needs to open up. It's Putin.
He needs to put in.
Yeah, no. Mm. But he needs to. If he just let it go, got a boyfriend, he'd chill right out. Chill out. Get yourself a boyfriend.
Okay. So you think the solution to the Ukrainian crisis is to
get him a boyfriend? Yeah. Do you ever see his wife? He didn't fancy his wife.
No.
You know, he's a gay man in a closet, frustrated, and how he takes it out. I'm a man. I am a man. I will show you how much of a man I am. I'm going to invade another country and kill people. Yeah.
Your way of looking at life is weird, Justin. Really is.
I think you'll find I'm very accurate on this. Honestly. I'm very accurate.
So sure.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted by it, though. I really am. I mean, how the hell? Yeah. I just think, in this day and age, it's nuts, isn't it? How you just go into another country, you know, like Kiev. People, I've heard people, lots of pronunciations of that. I thought it was Kiev. It's not Kiev. It's Kiev. It's Keith.
Yeah, Kiev.
It's Keith, it is.
It is, isn't it? And it's kind of frustratingly annoying that we're seemingly so powerless.
Yeah. I woke up, I didn't realise...
Without really kicking off into a major conflict.
Yeah, and I didn't realise how serious it was. And I woke up this morning, there's 137 people in Ukraine have been killed. I think more Russians have been killed, but I think, what? I mean, at the moment, I didn't really think it was really... I thought he just hit in military bases. But 137 people have been killed.
Yeah.
I thought, do you know what? We need to shun them. I don't understand why people even drag in their heels on things like sporting events. Ban them all from sport. They need to be shunned everywhere. Freeze all their assets. Freeze all the oligarchs' assets. Free Putin's assets. You know, ban them from Swift. Ban all from sport events, because that way he loves sport, right? If they are a pariah, there are people who are training sports people in Russia who would hate him and resent him because they can't take part on the international platform.
Do you think that's why he waited until after the Olympics, because he thought he might get kicked out of the Olympics? Yeah.
Did you see the Olympics? There was a joint speech between President Xi, another dodgy thing. If we don't clamp down right now on this, President Xi is watching this thing, and is that all they're going to do? Okay, let's take over Taiwan. Is that all the international thing to do? So ban them from all. Hang on a sec. So they are talking about Swift, but this is the big one. Have you seen this? Russia have been kicked out of the 2022 Eurovision Song Contest.
Right.
That'll do it. I wish they'd banned the UK. It's so embarrassing. But but no, do you know what? On every level, they should be banned. Every level. So literally they are an insular state on their own. No one touches them. So everyone in the world thinks you're an imbecile, apart from the guy in North Korea, the mad guy, and President Xi, maybe. He's finding it kind of awkward.
You know. But it's quite, encouraging, whatever, but there is, you know, a lot of internal, what's the word?
Rigmarole.
Lack of support. There we go.
Lack of support. Exactly. So we need to kill him from the inside. We need to defeat him from the inside.
But it's interesting to think that actually, you know, we say Russia are invading Ukraine. It's not. It is Putin, isn't it? You know, it's like
it's Putin it's Putin and his cronies,
Exactly. Well, do you know, galvanized the entire military force? Yeah.
Do you know London was known as the laundry, you know, for Russian money, dirty money? So they understand that you can't, it's not safe. Money in Russia is not safe because Putin can take you over, freeze your account, take you over, says that those are my assets. So a lot of them, you know, washed it into Russia. They bought in London, bought lots of big properties. One of the reasons why property prices went up massively, you know, I mean, talking top of the range properties in high demand is because of, you know, dirty money from these oligarchs, which is good they've frozen that. But once you start freezing them around and everyone around him starts suffering financially, so you've got to eat him up from inside, you know, and really... do you know, if I was a billionaire now, not a Russian billionaire, just a billionaire, quite a nice billionaire, like Branson or something, I'd offer...
Well, that's debatable.
Well, yeah, yeah. But if I... Not Branson, but if someone, you know, someone quite nice, I'd offer $100 million to the first person who assassinates him. I'd say, give you $100 million. And I guarantee one of his cronies would kill him inside. I'd also hire the best hackers in the world to infiltrate his emails and start posting emails saying, retreat, retreat, you know, sending emails from his account. Then I'd hack his mobile phone, also send the same things, retreat, retreat. Then I'd get the best possible Vladimir Putin impressionist to call his generals and, did you not see my texts and emails? I said, retreat, you fool.
I'm not sure you really thought through a lot of this stuff, but
I put a lot of thought into it.
you'd really take one for the team. You'd spend 100 million quid to get rid of him, and then you'd end up in jail.
You wouldn't know, would they? I'm talking about this billionaires in James Bond movies.
The hitman guy suddenly becomes one of the wealthiest guys in your
Putin is the wealthiest guy, one of the wealthiest guys in the world. Have you seen now they're going to freeze his assets? The CIA know where he keeps his money. Apparently, it's in Barclays, just down the road there, in the local account. No, but apparently, no, they do. They know. I thought, really? Does he really just keep his money? But obviously, he's got, you know, hard assets, but illiquid assets like buildings and stuff like that, and business investments. But they know where his cash is. A lot of his cash is worth billions. So freeze him. They are talking about SWIFT now, the SWIFT bank thing. What's the problem with Europe saying, no, we can't because we pay for oil and gas and that? So what? You've got a year's worth of oil and gas. Isn't it worth just, you know, that going up, the price of oil and gas going up, you know, for a little bit, just to kill the people being killed in Ukraine and you worry about oil and gas for a while? Just do it for now, until he's gone, because it won't last long. I mean, you know, you cut them off from all financial, everything, just cut them off everywhere. Yeah. Everything. Don't buy. Stop buying Larders, Steve.
Yes,
Skodas.
Skodas
is not. No, Skodas is not.
No, it's like Czech Republic.
No, they're owned by Volkswagen. Skodas, now, aren't they?
Yeah, they've been for a long time.
Yeah,
for a long time. But yeah, you do feel for the Ukrainian people because that is just unbelievably.
Well, the sad thing about it, and like I totally support the fact that they're obviously fighting to the end. And the sad thing is about it is they will fight to the end, and you think there's going to be so much bloodshed because they're not going to win against what Putin's got, is he? It's just that's the sad thing about
it. Do you know what we said last week? You know, the Russian army is quite big. They're 190,000 to 200,000 troops. Ukraine has been building their force. They haven't got the equipment that the Russians have got, but their militaries numbers about 200,000. We only got 85,000 in this country, so 200,000. Yeah. But you're adding NATO in. I saw some news on that NATO. Apparently adding some troops there, 40,000 troops, task force. And we are supplying equipment to them and all that. I genuinely think a lot of these Russians whose heart is not in it, because, of course, they're attacking Russians or brothers of theirs, I don't think they'll get any. I don't think they'll win at all. I mean, how far can this go? Their heart is not in it at all. It's only the madmen like Putin and a couple of his cronies, but they'll soon sink away. You've got a billionaire, you know, so I'll give you $100 million to kill Putin. One of them will do it. One of the generals will do it. 100 million. They can just sneak out of Russia then. So I'll get you in and out of Russia. I'll give you 100 million, sorry. Kill him. We'll fly you out. And we'll put you in a safe house somewhere. You know, a nice safe house.
Yeah. That's a sort of a 10-year-old solution to the problem, isn't it?
It's not 10-year-old. I read books like that all the time. It's a John Grisham book. So, you know, it's about a 13-year-old. Come on, Pete.
It's wishful thinking.
It can be dead, Pete. You don't understand how corrupt the world is. Look how corrupt.
How
can you march into it?
The world is, but I'm not sure how easy it is to do what you're saying.
But there must be some people like, you know, for example, Bill Gates, right?
You know, he's not going to do it.
No, no, but what I'm saying is he knows good hackers. You know, he's a programmer himself. He knew, if you're a good programmer, you can do this. They know hackers. Hackers can take them down. If you just infiltrate, you know, the entire Russian system nonstop. If everyone's, if you listen to this podcast, you know someone who knows someone who's a good hacker. Everyone, please, just hack into the Russian system and bombard them with memes of a gay Putin, whatever.
Okay, right. Should we move on to the markets?
So, it was part of the markets, that was, wasn't it? I mean, the Russian stock market fell.
I know.
45% on Wednesday. 45%. You know, when the FTSE falls by 2 or 3%, it's very volatile the rest of the, you know, we're not talking about individual stocks here. If one of your stocks fell by 45%, it's gutting, isn't it? But in indices itself, like the equivalent of the FTSE 100, fell by 45%.
Yeah. Wow.
And then that was before the sanctions were announced. And then they announced sanctions and it rallied by 20%. So you're thinking, okay, so they didn't really think.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, yesterday, today actually, it rallied by 20%.
Right.
But still down from 45%, which is massive. It's the biggest fall in the history of the Russian stock market. Doesn't that say to him, you are killing the economy? And slowly it will. It will kill, they're going to make it weaker and weaker, the economy of Russia. And so.
I mean, what's the because you sent through on our WhatsApp group? In fact, you put on Twitter, didn't you? That their overall stock was it the country stocks went down. It was about 48%. What are they called?
Yeah, the more.
So what are they at now? Has that gone up or
Did I just say that?
Oh, sorry,
Stevie. Are you picking the roots of a sweet potato again?
No.
No. So it went down by 45%. They bounced by like 20% on Friday, which is still, you know, it's not back to half what it was because, of course, bigger fall down. But, I saw a figure saying the oligarchs in Russia lost 40 billion in the last 2 days.
Right. Wow.
Which, I mean, let's be honest, you know, it's going to start, people are going to start talking to each other. One, you know, Barry oligarch is going to call Jerry oligarch and say, mate, I'm not sure about what Putin's doing. Have you seen us? Have you logged into Harry and Larry? Have you logged into your account? Check it out. It's not the best, you know.
I saw it because like Gazprom dived and all the big you know Russian firms and people like Abramovich and all of that. You know they've seen their portfolios drop a little bit and they're all mates with Vladimir. So it's a bit of a bit of a strange one, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. Well, surely there's someone. I mean, they are a bit scared of him. But if you're not living close to him or in Russia.
Mm.
You're going to be saying, Vladimir, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're tanking my portfolio, mate.
On their WhatsApp group, they'll be like, Vlad, come on.
Vlad, stop being a dick about this.
My portfolio is way down now.
Put your top back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get off your horse. Yeah. Put your top back on. Get off your horse. That's not, like, let's be honest. He's gay. Of course he's gay. Of course he is. No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Anyway. I did say, actually, on the big sell-off, which we woke up on Wednesday, and I said, if you are selling good, improving UK-based businesses today, you probably need to cash out for good. You know? If you're panicking right now and you're thinking, oh, and then someone said, or if you don't have stop losses and a solid risk management strategy in place, then you probably need to cash out for good. I said, no, stop losses should never be used when you're investing in good, improving small-cap businesses. They're quite volatile, you know? Yeah. I said, stop losses are for traders, most of whom lose money. And then someone replied to me saying, good, it's what good businesses, can turn to bad for various macro and micro reasons. Refusing to sell whatever happens seems a quick way to the poorhouse, in my opinion. And I said, well, if you owned a business in UK, just think about a non-listed business. If you owned a business in the UK, okay, and you saw that Putin invaded Ukraine, would you sell up your business?
Hmm. Depends what the business was, you know. Yeah, no, you wouldn't, of course not.
No, exactly. If you're cutting hair, for example, I always like my hairdresser example. Yeah. If you were doing well in business and you're touring there, that's good chat fodder, that. You know, you don't say, oh, hang on, Putin's invaded Ukraine. I'm going to sell this hairdressers. If you're in, you know, Cardiff High Street, whatever it is. I don't know. You wouldn't do it, would you?
Your kind of point of reference is always hairdressers and Cardiff.
But what I'm saying is, right, you wouldn't do that.
No, we can't.
And I said, this guy, you are thinking like a trader, worrying about the prices, not like a business owner focused on the operations. Because when you own shares in a business that you believe in and you see the metrics improving, you shouldn't. I mean, of course, it's gutting to see the share price go down, especially if you're underwater. But you shouldn't be focused on the share price, you know? Focus on the valuation. Look at the valuation.
It was similar to, like, you know, when COVID first hit and the dash for cash back in 2020. And it's just one of those things. It's just a kick in the teeth, isn't it? Because, and let's
and
not forget
the, and
here.
The balls, but sometimes. Both.
Quite. Let's this, not forget
the
here.
Last 10 months has been, I've been beaten all over in the ring with Mike Tyson and Tyson Fury, you know?
Compared to, you know, living in the Ukraine or, you know, being a Ukrainian at the moment, you know, we're just talking about our portfolio. So it all pales into insignificance, really, doesn't it? But it is frustrating to see the portfolio drop like that because of, another world event that is impacting globally everybody's, you know, stock prices. But, you know, what's the point of selling? You just hold on and it will rally like crazy as and when this is resolved. The fear, though, is that this could go on for years, couldn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that's the worrying thing. That's why we have to go hard on him now. I mean, in all seriousness, people say World War III, but this was how Hitler started.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
He annexed neighbouring countries that he said belonged to Germany. That's how it started. Yeah. He's done it with Crimea. You know, and when does he stop?
Yeah.
That's why he needs to be assassinated.
Right. Okay, sorted that out. Right.
There we are. Simple as.
Justin for president.
Yeah. President of the world.
Yeah, no, but obviously international governments can't announce that. No. But you imagine Boris, that'd be hilarious, just stood in front of the House of Parliament. And we've put sanctions on oligarchs and we've frozen the bank's assets and Aeroflot can't fly into the UK. We've also going to be announcing a £100 million reward for the assassination of Vladimir Putin. That'd get a massive cheer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we've got just the man. It's Matt Hancock.
he's got a bit of spare time on his hands at the moment, and
probably one of his cronies. Yeah, 100 million. Yeah, I'll go do it. No problem.
Yeah.
I've finished doing the PPE now, so I'll crack on and shoot Putin.
Yeah, anyone's going to assassinate him, it'd have to come from the inside, wouldn't it? Because otherwise, you'd just blame it on a country and end up nuking them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you put $100 million reward on his head, right? One of his generals, who've got guns, they're armed, they've killed people before, they'd do it. You know, especially if they've got a bit of money in the stock market and it's gone down 45%. You're right, okay.
Good.
Anyway.
Right, any other world problems to solve?
Yeah. So I did say, in fact, you mentioned COVID there, right? It's funny how COVID's not mentioned much now, isn't it? It's just, do you remember that was completely, you know, taking up our brain space for a long time? And all of a sudden, just not even there anymore. It's like, someone did say to me once, worries are like vacuums. And in fact, look at the stock market. If you go back, like, you know, 100 years or more than that, it's been through two world wars and these, you know, really bad, all-encompassing world wars, all countries involved. It's always recovered. It's gone from, you know, bottom left on the chart, top right. And yes, you can get jump out on jitters, but you know what? It's always gone up. At the end, and it normally rallies like crazy. Did you see those charts, actually? It's worth looking at that. I'll share. But invasion is the time to buy. When the invasion happens, and it's loads of wars they've looked at in charts, so basically it starts a rally. It takes a while, but as soon as the invasion happens, it's pretty much the bottom. And it starts a rally after that, you know? So
it's that thing of, as we always talk about, time in the market, but it's... you know, this was been talked about for weeks, hasn't it? Even though last week we were bullishly saying, "Oh no, perhaps he's just a show of strength and he might not invade," but you kind of think he might do, and sure enough, he has. You know, how could we have played it differently?
Well, exactly. Again, it comes
sell
back
out and hope he invades and then buy back in.
Exactly. You know? Again, it comes back to you are owner. If you're an investor, not a dirty, scummy trader doesn't wash under your armpits.
Right.
You know, you are literally sitting at the screen all day long with a sweaty sack. It's not like that. You know, I mean, you are an investor, a proper person. You're an investor in a business, you know. You didn't just, you know, pee your pants, sell everything, and then jump back in. You can't predict. And if you can predict, there's no point. The market does things you wouldn't predict, you know, so no, and there's like no point doing that.
It rallied a bit, didn't it? Like my portfolio went a little bit back up.
It is. What are you on? I don't know. But do you know what? Do you know COVID, actually? Do you see it? TfL announced, didn't went under the radar a bit because other things going on. They announced, this is Transport for London, announced you no longer have to wear a face mask. And they said customers and staff will, however, be strongly recommended to wear them if they're able to. I think, what do you mean if they're able to? Who's not able to? And I thought, maybe it's people with no ears.
Good point.
I thought, that's a good point, actually. Yeah,
there's a struggle to wear one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very struggle. Yeah. Those little elastic bands, where are you going to put them around? You can't put them around your ears. Yeah. There's no invention. Imagine you're going to Dragon's Den pitching that idea. I've invented a mask for people with no ears. That's a niche mark.
You can get those masks that kind of go around the back of your head.
Oh, there we are. Yes.
So they do exist.
There are not many people with no ears, though, are there? You know,
there aren't many.
Who's your market? Yeah. Van Gogh. Well, he had one ear, didn't he? But I mean, anyway,
and he's dead.
So, anyway, I did put out that tweet about sport. Should Russia be banned from sport? Pretty much 80%, 89% of them said yes. And I also said, right, on Twitter, a poll: is investing gambling?
Right, and what was the result?
Well, I don't know. Oh, no, I do know. Let me just check it out. But what would you say, boys? What would you say?
Is investing gambling? Well, it can.
There's an element of gambling to investing, isn't it? Because only...
Well, no, that trading, but I suppose, is gambling, isn't it? Can be. Investing, I suppose, isn't.
54.3% said yes. 45.7% said no. And this is my take on it. If you're interested, anyway. Okay, that's the result of the poll. Next, let's talk about the metaverse.
go on then.
So I said, maybe controversial, investing is gambling.
Mm-hmm.
In that it's all about probability, is life. As is life. Okay. Like, and I give this example to people, right? This guy kept saying, just gambling, it's all gambling. I said, I suppose it is. But, you know, it's about probability. Simple as that. Now, if you go outside, Steve, right? Well, not in here, you're doing cul-de-sac. But if you go to a busy road, put a blindfold on, right? And put, you know, little things in your ears, you can't hear anything, just cross the road, like a dual carriageway. It's a good chance you get knocked down, isn't there? You know? Now, you can remove the blindfold. You know, assuming you've got two ears, just over your ears. And you can remove your earplugs. And you actually look where you're going, and then you can cross when there's a space. And there's a good chance you won't get knocked down. Life is about probability. Everything's about probability. All of it, you know? Now, and that's the same with investing. Now, if you've got a bet on the horses, for example, you've got fixed odds there. You can't do a lot about it. There's a 10 to 1, all against odds, pretty much, on there, unless it's a two-horse race and one's a favourite. And even sometimes then, the favourite doesn't win. But generally, in a race where there's five or more horses, they're all odds against. And so your chances of being successful are less than 50%. You know, sometimes, 10 to 1 to 10% chance of winning on a horse. Now, with investing, it's different. You can manipulate the odds by looking at certain things that would take the risk away. Now, if you invest in, do you see Synergen this week? Synergen is a drug developer based in Southampton. I was going to buy it a while back because they're in the, you know, sort of lung area as well, things like that, in Southampton, so it's local to me. Molly's got a lung issue. I knew about the company a long time ago. And about 6 months, but a little sharp, but six or no, a year back probably, it did 400% in one day. And I was going to take a little punt in it. I didn't bother because it was a bit too risky. It did 400% in one day. They just announced clinical trials, and it's gone back down below even that rise. Right?
Wow.
So if you invest in pre-revenue companies doing risky things like clinical trials, because their phase three trials didn't meet the end point, like clinical trials or exploration companies, for example, especially oil and gas, and the chance... I mean, clinical trials, I mentioned this a couple of times, people don't seem to be able to get this in their head. If you invest in a company that's starting clinical trials, phase one, two, and three, the chance of you getting through to a successful outcome is around about 8 to 10 to 1. So that's massively odds against. Odds against.
Yeah,
10 times you invest in that company, you're going to fail. Synergen, case in point. Same with Wildcat oil exploration companies, you know. Now, I'm not saying don't invest in those because of a bit of excitement, but you've got to not pour all your money into that. There's one guy on Twitter, I felt sorry for him, he had all his money in that, something, and a Vector and something else, and Amiga Diagnostics, some of the worst performers ever. And he had all his money in those three. I thought, well, you must understand the risk and reward of those companies, surely.
Yeah, so that's the thing, isn't it? It's the differentiating between, because investing in, well, I don't know, this week, you can't pick, GSK or Unilever, that's a good one. They're, you know, investing like that is a far safer gamble. In inverted commas than these kind of companies you're talking about. So
exactly,
investing can be gambling, and the element of gambling can be higher depending on which company you're investing in.
It's all about probability, all of it. And so you want, as an investor, to try and get decent reward, but try and reduce the risk in some way. And I do that by looking at microcaps. They can be very volatile. But now I moved away from these, you know, high octane or high risk companies because they generally don't give the reward. You know, the chances of you getting the reward are like 10 to 1, which is ridiculous. Now, so if you avoid pre-revenue companies, for example, in the oil exploration or clinical trials and all that stuff, if you do that, then make sure you diversify because it's a good chance. Odds on chance, you will take a big hit. So why even go there? Because it's a false economy. So you're better off investing in a business, not an idea or concept or hope, that's growing revenue, because to me, that says their product is needed and wanted, you know, at a good valuation, because as yet the share price hasn't gone nuts. And they're heading towards, they're either profitable or heading towards profitability, and they can do on their current resources. Even by doing those three things, so growing, good valuation, profitable or heading towards profitability on the cash they have, that will severely reduce the risks. But because it's a microcap company, the growth is there, the rewards can still be beneficial, you know? And that's why, because if you break it down to simplicity and balance sheets, for example, if you've got a company is profitable or going to be profitable and it's going from loss-making to profitability, then their assets, their real assets, the current assets, are going to go in from shrinking to growing. And that's that's how value is, that's how you measure value. It's by the assets. The cash, more cash goes to the balance sheet, the assets grow. What they do that is normally growth companies, they reinvest it in the company, of course, to acquire more things or do more stuff or improve their product. Or if they're a mature company, they pay those out in dividends. So, I mean, it's investing, in summary, is gambling. But unlike gambling the horses, you can manipulate the odds in your favour with horses. You can't, you know. Who knows what some of those horses are on? I worked at a bookies manager once. Really sad place to work. I mean, just guys going from having... Did I tell you, I worked in London, I probably told you. I worked in London, I was two guys who saw some restaurants in the town there, and they used to come in, they used to just run in and put, just chuck 100 or 200, off 200 quid on any trap. The dogs used to gamble. So six traps, any trap, trap six. Just the bell would, they'd rush in, dressed in the uniforms of that, and trap six, 200 quid. And they'd come in, they'd just lose. So what are they doing?
Yeah.
Well, why are they doing that? They've got three or four businesses, restaurants, working hard, unless they're laundering money, of course. But I mean, and then they'd go down to the end of the day, they'd gamble all day, they'd rush in with 50 pence at the end of the day. It was like pathetic. You guys could be wealthy if you, but they had a gambling bug and they didn't care about the odds. It's nuts. It's very sad, really. Michael and John, the guys. I saw one, Michael and I was fighting the car park with the guy. It was
sounds like a nice chap.
Yeah.
Got his life sorted out there.
But
right, okay.
Yeah. But okay. I'm gonna test you now, Steve. Three things that can greatly improve your chance of success in investing are what?
Say again? Sorry.
Are you starting eating yet? Have you prepared your food yet, Steve?
He's descaling a kettle.
Yeah, go on. Say that again. Sorry, I own your hat.
I give three metrics you can look at there, right?
Yeah.
That would greatly improve your chances of success when investing. What were they?
So don't cross the road.
That's it, yeah.
Don't cross the road with a blindfold on. That's one, wasn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you you keep your earmuffs off so you can hear what you're doing. I can't remember what the third one was.
Yeah, it was don't wear roller skates.
That's the one.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Yeah. Here we are. I look for now revenue growth, you know, top line growth. Because, Steve, let's be honest, just looking at the real business, like your business, right? You know, filming OnlyFans, fellas on OnlyFans, you know? Yeah, right.
It's very popular these days.
Yeah, it is. So if you're getting more people approach you, right, your revenue's going up. What does that say?
I'm making more money.
Yeah, but it says your services are required, aren't they? More and more. If your revenue's grown by 20% a year, for example, that's the sort of the line I look at, thinking, yeah, you're obviously quite good, and then, you know, other people... So you know full well, if you're growing year on year, you know, you are... The product, whatever, or service is more demand. Then, if I'm investing you, they look at the valuation. So, oh, it's a new value this month. You know, something, I mean, this is a bargain here. You know, the value potential here, growth... And then they say, okay, and, how is your bank account? Are you in debt, or do you have cash? You've got plenty of cash as well. See? Very well then. So that's good. See, because obviously if a company needs cash and they have to go to the market to raise cash, it dilutes existing shareholders. So your potential returns going forward are diluted because, you know, you've less of a hold, less of a slice of the pie. You know what I'm saying? That reminds me, actually. Yeah. I told this joke to Fred and Monty. So a guy goes into a pizza restaurant takeaway thing. And he said, can I have a 12-inch Hawaiian pizza, please? And they cook it. And he said, here you are. It's all brilliant. He said, I'm going to eat it just outside there. He said, all right, do you want me to cut it for you? He said, oh, yes, please, cut it up, yeah. He said, do you want me to cut it into 6 pieces or 12 pieces? He said, oh, just 6, please. 6, please. I couldn't eat 12.
Steve, do you get it?
He's going to tell his friends now. It's the same size pizza, isn't it? But, you know, it's a cheese.
I couldn't eat.
Yeah, you didn't have to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I was going to say with everything going on in the markets this week is I've gone from going, we could really do with some news around our stocks to, I don't really want news to come out now.
Oh, I know. I thought that might, well, we know Gfinity has got, you know, half-year results out, or trading update on half-year results, not the trade, they do
well,
trading.
Well, this is bad news. Yeah, bury it. That's good.
Yeah, and I thought, whatever you do, don't release it now.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a bit of a bounce, a bit of a positivity, a bit of, liquidity come in the market before you release that. I know. But at the end of the day, you know, if Gfinity came out... And their growth is good, you know, and it's heading in the right direction. Doesn't matter what the share price does, doesn't. I mean, you know, you can't judge what the markets do. People are trading. They're scared to hold anything, you know, at the moment. There's so much fear in the market. That's it. There's so much fear in the market. So much. People just pee their pants on anything. Calm down. The pee the pants brigade. Look at the morning, look at the RNSs and pee the pants.
Yeah. I do wonder, like, are there people that, you know, they sold a bit on, like, on Thursday, and then are they selling more on Friday? Oh, God, still, you know, I don't know. I've never done that. I've just held.
But doesn't it come down? I remember when I first started, I was the same. You know, I suppose it's a lack of research and lack of confidence in a company, you know? Because it's like, do you know what you're holding? And I think the more research you do, the more conviction you have, you know? So, and also the longer you hold a company, the more you know it. But, I suppose it's just something that people generally don't look as, you know, I mean, I've literally on the Share Pickers Investment Club, I'm always constantly updating my spreadsheet to make it, thinking what's important, good. What's important to look at in a company, you know? So I've manufactured spreadsheets, I put the website, we literally plug in a couple of figures and see what a company's growth is, see what their, you know, their valuation is, all that stuff. And every week now on the webinar, we look at 2-3 companies. In fact, it's been 3 a week, pretty much. Essentially, say, right, do they hit the growth metrics? 20% growth. Are they good value? If they don't, in the bin, full stop. Do they have cash? Is the third thing. So that's the 3 things I look at. Are they growing? they're good value, do they have cash to get the profitability? If not, not interested. They may be good value, you know, but you're investing in a company that's good value with no growth, because the value will just get better. What that means is the share price will go down and down and down. So they've got to have growth as well. Growth gives the upside, the reward, you know, upside potential. The value provides a bit of downside protection. It's the risk, you know, side of it. So, I suppose it is just people trading. They don't really look at fundamental stuff today. They just think, it's going down, I'll sell. Well, people know something I don't.
Steve's being very quiet, so I'm assuming he sold all his portfolio this week.
No, I haven't sold anything.
Have you made any trades this week? I've not done anything at all. Have you?
I haven't made any trades this year, I don't think.
Trains?
I tell you, I have put some money in my fund. That's all I've done. That's probably my only trade this year.
Yeah. What's frustrating is, I mean, in the chat forum, people are talking about XP factors. It's very frustrating. Yes, it is. It really is frustrating. It really is. And all I said was, sometimes when this happens, all you can do, switch off. You know, don't look at the share price, pardon me, or your portfolio value, anything, because it's annoying. Mm. And I try to switch off from the share price, you know, completely, because I try to focus on valuation and the potential valuation. I know it's frustrating, but I think, you know, if the share price goes down, the valuation becomes a more compelling story, because we sort of know what revenue is going to be doing. I'm thinking about 20 plus million this year, which is phenomenal compared to where they were last year. And yet now they've got about 10 million cash. So they're like literally one time set, they're also going to be EBITDA profitable. It's not using cash or they're generating cash. So I'm thinking, this is a bit of a bargain now, which I'd prefer that than it be super overvalued, you know, really. When people say, why is it valued so high? It's not valued high at all. It's a hugely compelling story now. And it's becoming more compelling and more interesting. And there are investors out there knowing it and looking at it and thinking, this is quite impressive. But they haven't published any figures yet on the wider group. So people don't know this. All they've published figures on is the escape rooms in the UK that they own. And they were showing very good growth. Just got to have a bit of patience, really, you know. That's all.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm. In fact, someone is posting now. And there's a guy there checking bookings on all the sites on the Shipbiggers Investment Club. And he said it's very busy. Everything's booked out pretty much. There was a bit of a Peter Pants situation with the O2 roof ripping off because of Storm Steve. No, what was it Storm?
Yeah, yeah.
Storm, back open again now, isn't it?
Storm Eugene or something.
Storm Munich.
Yes, sir.
Storm Franklin. Was
on Reese.
Yeah, what? So it's open back up now. So they've opened back up Boom Battle Bar because they shut down the O2 area. It's now open back up. So, you know, it's been shut for a week. Fine. It's not the only thing they've got, you know. So why do people panic? They've got, you know, 20 escape rooms. They've got, you know, several Boom Battle Bars. Fine. So that's opening back up. I don't want them to give an update too soon. I want at least a quarter's worth of revenue before they do a decent update on the Boom Battle Bar side, because you can't get a good judge of it then, can you? So, I mean, it is annoying, I know, but that's what it's like, isn't it? You know, that's what it's like. It's annoying. Do you see them? What's quite funny, actually? The Metaverse. Facebook changed their name, didn't they, to get away from all the controversy. Facebook. Yeah. They launched the Metaverse, and then BBC just did a documentary on the Metaverse, or a little video on the Metaverse. And if Mark Zuckerberg saw that, I just think he'd be slapping his head in his hands. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because he sort of tries to be quite clean, isn't he, robotic. And the Metaverse, guys, you can go in there and you can meet your friends and go out for a drink in the Metaverse. What's wrong with the real universe, Mark?
Yeah.
But anyway, turns out there's loads of strip clubs, which people, if you're age 14 or whatever, you can go in them. There's people like trying to have sex with you, trying to jump on top of you, trying to put beer bottles in places beer bottles shouldn't go. If you're watching them, thinking, oh my God. And but it's dreadful, isn't it? I don't understand. I can understand gaming, but wandering around in the metaverse for hours on end. Am I too old for that?
Who's created the strip clubs?
Well, I don't know. Exactly. I think you just create them in the metaverse. Whoever's using them, you know?
Yeah, but then people start stripping.
Yeah, it was like
you seem to know a lot about it, that's all.
I watched on BBC. It was a gang. Okay. In a strip club, there's a gang situation going on.
What does BBC stand for?
Yeah, there's a gang situation going on. Mark Zuckerberg was like, oh, my God. So he'd have to regulate that now. What he wants to say is it's just free, you know, virtual reality, you know, different zone, different color. But he said, well, I don't want that going on. No. That is not what I wanted.
So he
imagined this thing where people just go and have a few drinks or go fishing or do your hobbies in the metaverse. All of a sudden, you've got a strip club with people on top of each other trying to. It's always going to go down that route. All the pervs want to do that.
On the demo, was it like he was playing cards? On the
Most boring thing in the world. If that's what it is, I'm not in, Mark. You haven't sold me on that one, buddy.
Within weeks, he's got this debauchery going on. That's not what I planned.
So. I would love to see Mark Zuckerberg in the boardroom meeting when, Mark, can we just bring this to your attention? With the BBC, oh my God. Oh my, where is he putting the beer bottle? Oh my God. Why is there five people on top of me? They've got no pants on. It's like, what are they doing? It's like, they've created a monster there, haven't they, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, any TV stuff, boys, worth looking at? Steve, you know the TV man.
Yeah, you're Steve.
No, what did I recommend last week? You kind of brushed over.
Clarkson's Farm.
Classic. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You know what, we're probably coming up to season two, which will actually become relevant again. Actually.
There you go.
In fact, what was quite funny, I thought, from me, you know, on the WhatsApp group, you said you laughed, Pete. You said, I explained what's going on in the metaverse. You said, have you got a link for it? I said, I can give you a referral code. If you use that, I'll get virtual nipple tassels. Thanks very much for that. But you said something that was quite funny. I don't know. Maybe not.
Wait, no.
No, was it this year or last year? Something quite funny.
We should have put it in the diary.
So what did you say, Steve? Sorry?
I don't know. What do you mean? What did I say?
What were you recommending last week?
Yeah, what were you recommending?
That's what I was asking you. I can't remember.
Well, Paddy went on a long rant about the metaverse, didn't he? He read a book. I thought he was joking. Paddy reading a book. I read a book on this. I thought he was joking. And he went on and literally did swathes of text. I don't know how he did that. He just copied and pasted. I said, listen, Steve's not going to read that much. Just come on and
explain it.
To explain it. You can't do it again. What's Paddy doing? Anyway.
Yeah, no, quite.
Sorry, Steve.
I'll jump in. I'm rarely recommending TV, but I've watched Inventing Anna on Netflix.
Oh, yes. I thought that was good. That last week. Yeah, that
was it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's about the Anna Sorokin. Remember her? She was the fake German heiress who kind of took over like New York, you know, high society and blagged vast amounts of money out of banks and stuff. It was all fake. And she actually had connections with that guy that did Fire Island as well. So it was all
about
bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
These people are very convincing, or are there just lots of gullible people out there?
Well, yeah, the latter probably. But it was well done. The show was well done, even though if you kind of know the story. And I just like true stories because you just kind of...
Yeah, I do. As you get older, I think you start to realise that real life is more bizarre than fantasy. Yeah. You don't need to make it up. It's all out there right now. You've got a guy invading a developed European city with tanks. It's like, what's going on?
It's very. If you watch Inventing Anna, then have to go and look for like Google images and videos. It's crazy how well they got some of the scenes in the courtrooms, like almost identical, like the clothing and everything. It's just like you're kind of looking at the real pictures of her, and you're like, wow, that's actually really.
Also, what I'm confused by talking about that, Steve. Have you seen a promo of Tommy and Pamela?
Yeah.
They are them, are they or not? They're spot on. They're not them. Yeah,
especially the Pamela Anderson. She's really spot on.
I thought that's them, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not.
I haven't watched the actual film, but it's just a promo. That is spot on. But
I like Steve, but he says, especially the Pamela Anderson, she's a really spot on.
Yeah, really down there. I've looked at her in lots of detail, you know what I'm saying? Steve, you should join the metaverse, fella.
Yeah. Hey, tell you one thing I would recommend on TV, though. I watched this week, if you're into a bit of a documentary, I think it's in the top 10 at the moment. It's... this is bad. I've forgotten the name of the title.
Yeah, that's hard. Recommendation.
Great story.
It's the one about Boeing.
Boeing?
The airline.
Jeremy Boeing. That's boring. Oh, yeah.
Is it the 737 MAX? About?
Yeah. The problem's there.
In the stories. And Stuart, after watching that, I was kind of like, I don't think I ever want to get on a Boeing plane ever again, to be honest.
Yeah, it's scary. But
it's interesting to see the story of how they were like number one, like their attention to detail, and they got taken over. Well, not taken over, it was a merger, wasn't it, with another company. Mm. And as soon as that happened, the other company pretty much took control. And
everything's business, isn't it? So even business is, you know, big acquisitions like that, very hard to work out just the integration of all the systems, and it just doesn't work, you know, sometimes. So,
I'd recommend that. It's worth a watch.
I'd recommend Dragon's Den. I'm watching that all. Really? I'm loving it.
I can't bother with it anymore.
Mm. No, it's better now. Have you seen Steve on there? Not you, Steve, but you'd be good at addition. But I mean, have you seen Steve on there? Steve Bartlett. They need young blood, and he's the guy they need. He's you know, like I say, he's a skint guy in Manchester, and basically he's gone from, you know, being skint to having a company worth 300 million. It's marketing, you know, so he's got massive following on LinkedIn, Insta.
But
he speaks, and you can see why his podcast has done very well. And you can see why his podcast done well, because he's very clear talking, you know, and he's very lucid, his thought. But he's very good. Right. But to also recommend watching Wales thrash England tomorrow in the Six Nations. Yes!
Oh, here we go. I can't see it happening myself, but that's... no, who knows?
It'll be tight, won't it? I think it'll be close, won't you?
I think it will be quite close, won't it? Yeah.
Because really, you know, you got lost to Scotland. We beat Scotland.
Mm.
But...
we're at home.
Yeah, that's it. You lost to Scotland away. We beat Scotland at home. So now, exciting. Very exciting, isn't it? Oh, but I didn't tell you last week, did I? Sorry, I meant to say this. And I mentioned afterwards, final thing we talked about, because I went to Cardiff, of course, watching the box there. Oh, we're in the box, got free drinks, watching Wales Scotland. Excellent game, of course. So the thing is, we got the train there, so it's a bit of a hassle. And it's nuts, isn't it? It's like a cattle market at Central Station. They've got all these metal barriers everywhere. And so Megan gave an excuse, and we got the front. She pretended she had a medical letter. She showed the guys on her phone. It wasn't a medical letter, so I'll go through. And so we went through there, and we got the platform. It was jam-packed, and we sat down, and this big Scottish guy wearing a kilt, big, fat, massive guy, he must be, you know, close to 20 stone, easy.
Right.
And he got on his phone and stuff, all right, where are you going? Hey, you gone? You gone? All right. Oh, hey. All right, saw you then. All right. Hey. How can I go back to the Jersey? I said, I said, so you got a Jersey? He said, yeah, I live in Jersey. I said, oh, Jersey, you give us a bit of money to live in Jersey. Hi. I own 10% of Bitcoin. I said, what? I own 10% of Bitcoin. I said, you own 10% of Bitcoin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's me.
I said, really? 10%? I said, I've done well in business. And I had a couple of guys, investors, who say, oh, you want to get into this Bitcoin, man? Oh, get into this Bitcoin. You know, way back. You know, and I got into Bitcoin, I threw cash into it. I said, and you I haven't sold a bean. I said, you haven't sold anything. He said, no, 10% Bitcoin. I said, 10%? I said, Bitcoin's worth 900 billion.
Yeah.
I said, so you are worth 90 billion? Hi.
Just get the
train. So you are sitting here.
He didn't mishear him, and he's just made 10% in Bitcoin.
That's not right. I think that's a boasting point. Yeah. I said, hang on. So, 90 billion,
yeah, he owns 10% of a Bitcoin.
Yeah, probably. Me and three mates, we own 10%. Yeah, he probably does. Literally. So I said, we're sitting here in this jam packed central Cardiff train station. People, you know, fighting to get on trains. People falling over each other drunk. And this guy sitting next to me, worth the same amount as Warren Buffett, and he's competing with the rest of these idiots. I thought, mate, just get a helicopter, you know? Take it to Jersey. What's wrong with you?
Did you say that to him?
No. Megan was like humouring him. Wow, you must be quite worth a lot. And I had a few drinks, but I did turn away at one point and try to work it out. 10%. I know it was worth, you know. You fool.
No.
And so I didn't actually say to him, you lying, drunk, Scottish idiot. Yeah. I didn't say that.
No, it's always the way, isn't it? You think of the thing to say afterwards.
Yeah, but you know,
that's brilliant, though. Yeah, okay, mate.
Yeah, okay, buddy. Catch your train, finish your kebab, get in your train. Yeah. Cheers, buddy. Yeah. Idiot. It's funny what alcohol can do and be able to show off, you know. Tumps on biscuits. I think we have 10% of a biscuit.
Do you remember years ago, it was a long time ago, we were all in Cardiff drinking and we met a guy, he said he invented something of the internet or something. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember exactly what he said. He said, I'm the guy that drives around in the car that says it's www2 or something.
Yeah. Yes, where was that? No, well, so the HTTP, that was it, wasn't it?
That was it.
He said, I invented the hypertext protocol thing.
The code in at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
He said he sold it for pretty much nothing, but still made a fortune from it. But
yeah.
Yeah, and he was a bit of a talking rubbish. Well,
it's not delusion is not bad when you meet someone in Cardiff train station and a few drinks, but when you're the ruler of a military state the size of Russia, it's quite dangerous, you know. So there's delusion at every level of society, isn't it, you know? But when you are in charge of, you know, 250,000 troops invading a country, there's quite dangerous there. So it's just worrying. Sometimes I just think our brains are too developed sometimes. Because my dog Lola, she's happy all the time. You know, it doesn't take a lot to, make her life positive. Bit of food, all the Fs, food, 40 winks, fuss, that's it. That as well. And what else is it? Running. Walkies. That's it.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Fun. No. Where's the F in that?
Where's the F in
anything? Where's the F in
anything? Irrelevant.
F in point.
Yeah. Okay, boys. It's been nice.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. And a lovely full circle back to Russia right at the end there.
Yeah.
Well,
it's all in covers. Bye bye. Speak to you next, Wiki.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.